Well, just over this past week, there's some interesting developments even in the US stats. One of the things we've been worried about in the United States is as it picks up, that we've had this extra pressure from demand tending to lift inflation. Well, we've got the first signs that retail price inflation is just sort of capping off a little bit. We had the August CPI came out, and it was slightly less than expectation on the month-on-month numbers. So the CPI was expected to be up 0.4% compared with 0.5% month-on-month the month before. It was up 0.3%, so just under. And as a result of that, the annual rate of change has finally come over the top and was at 5.4% going back to July. It's just edged back to 5.3%. It's a little bit more pronounced on the core CPI. And the core CPI was expected to be 0.3%. It came in at 0.1%. And so we got the annual core rate of inflation just coming back to 4% from 4.3%. Some of the other interesting parts in the US data last week, one or two of the regional leading indicators are picking up again. So it appears as if that bit of slack that we saw running through US economic activity over the last month or two, maybe there's a sign that's about to turn and turn higher again. We had the September Empire State Purchasing Managers Report came out and also the Philadelphia Fed Survey came out, both September readings. And the Empire State Survey was at plus 18.3, and the market thinking was it'll hold around that, maybe 18.0 or something like that. It went up to 34.3. That's a really strong reading. And similarly so with the Philadelphia Fed Survey, which was at plus 19.4, thinking was it'll come back to about 19, it went up to plus 30.7. So we've got some signs of acceleration running through those lead indicators. And even the coincident indicators, retail sales had gone through a softer patch in the United States through the summer months. Well, in August, they picked up. It was quite significantly stronger than market expectation. And the market was looking for a 1% fall in retail sales for the month of August. We got a 0.7% increase. That's a big difference compared with market thinking. And core retail sales, market was looking for a small reduction, minus 0.1%. Got an increase of plus 1.8%. So just these signs there that US economic growth is actually coming along quite well. And we're starting to get something of a revival running through there. Just week out of the United States, we get one or two more leading indicators, particularly around housing. So tonight we get the National Association of Home Builders Index comes out. That's expected to perhaps come back a touch to 74 from 75. That's still a good reading. We get housing permits, housing starts, existing home sales all coming out this week, and new home sales all for the month of August. And they're a little bit mixed. Housing permits, which rose strongly in July, expected to fall in August by 1.8%. But housing starts, which fell back in July, are expected to rise by 1.7%. And existing home sales, which were strong in July, up by 2%, expected to come back by 1.8% in the month of August. Whereas new home sales still running along quite strongly and are expected to run up about 0.7% after being up 1%. The other key feature this week, of course, is the FOMC meeting. And the FOMC meeting's over Wednesday running into Thursday. We'll hear the results then on Thursday morning. There's no change expected on interest rates, but it's just the talk about when they're going to start tapering. The bottom line is that there's an expectation that tapering of bond buying is going to start before the end of this year. Whether there'll be any further signs inside that FOMC meeting. And one of the problems is that there's at least four of the voting members in the FOMC who could be termed hawks and have been getting more hawkish over the summer period. And they're very, very keen to see the tapering process start soon. It's been resisted by Jerome Powell to date. but just waiting to see whether there's an announcement on the start of tapering in the United States at the meeting this week. Yeah, obviously, if that occurred, then you know, there'll be some market reaction to that if that comes through. China last week. And a few things are happening in China, a lot of them relevant to us. The first part is there's a lot of change occurring in China at the moment. Some of it's related to a short-term event, and that's the Winter Olympics coming up in February next year. You know, China's very keen to show a country which is both green, pleasant, and unpolluted. And so that's one of the factors which is leading them to cut back on things like steel production, to cut back the pollution there. And then there's another theme which has been running through China the last month or two, which is to redistribute wealth. China running towards the People's Congress meeting next year, which will entrench President Xi as president for life. He's very, very keen to show that that there's not privileged groups inside China, that there's still a socialist country. So that means that they take on the nasty property developers, they also redistribute away from the people who've become billionaires in China, redistribute some of that wealth and some of the social practices which are not appropriate in China, that they batten down on those. And this actually plays quite well in the Chinese political sense, horrifies investors overseas. And also has some casualties. You know, Evergrande, the huge Chinese property company there, is teetering on the brink, and it's a real conundrum for the Chinese authorities. Is this company too big to fail? Do they prop it? And how does that sit with their continuing clampdown on property developers? So, you know, they're between a rock and a hard place with some of these things as well, which could have some influence. But we're seeing this moderation in Chinese economic indicators, and it continued with the August readings coming through. So August fixed asset investment spending was expected to be up 9.1% year-on-year. It was up 8.9%. That was down from 10.3% the month before. Industrial production is the one that's really coming back. That was up 6.4% year-on-year going back to July. Was expected to be up 5.8%, was up 5.3%. So that's quite a big miss on the downside. And retail sales spending has actually come back a fair way too. So retail sales, which were expected to be up 7.1%, were up only 2.5% relative to 8.5% the month before. So we're getting this folding back of Chinese economic growth. It's quite pronounced in the parts where the Chinese authorities are trying to clamp down. And you know, one price which is being affected by this, of course, is the iron ore price, which going back late last week collapsed below $100 a ton. Not so long ago, it was over $200 a ton. So this has been a very, very big pullback and a very, very big source of income as far as Australia is concerned. So you know, apart from the obvious issues we have joining this new alliance, between the US, UK and ourselves, where we get a nuclear submarine or nuclear submarines by the year 2040, and all that means for our relationship with China, we've got these other signs that Chinese economic activity is pulling back as well. So obviously there's some indications there for some parts of the Australian economy as we go further forward. This week out of China, it's going to be quite early in the week. They've got a couple of public holidays, Monday and Tuesday. People's Bank of China meets this week. They haven't done anything with interest rates, although reserve ratio requirements have been changed a little bit relating to property companies over recent months. The interest rate, though, is 3.85%. Not expected to see that change through the course of this week. Australia, in terms of the data last week, we had a number of interesting data points, actually. The first one was second quarter house prices. This just shows how things are bombing along in the housing market in terms of prices. The quarter-on-quarter change in house prices was 6.7%. That was compared with 5.4% quarter on quarter in Q1. The annual rate of change in house prices in Australia is now 16.8% year on year, up from 7.5% going back to Q1. So yeah, these are very elevated house prices. Leading the charge was Sydney and Canberra. Sydney was up 8.1% quarter on quarter, is now up 19.3% year on year. Melbourne had it was up 6.1% quarter on quarter, up 15% year on year. So your two biggest cities are really belting along. Canberra's right up there at 8.2%, 19.1% year on year. So you've got some very, very big change running through house prices and still continuing, largely because of policies. We did hear from Reserve Bank Governor Phil Lowe giving a talk, and he's washing his hands largely at the problem in housing, saying, don't look at us, look somewhere else. Interest rates are only part of the story and only a small part of it. Other parts are, the inability of people to build new housing, council restrictions, and the taxation of housing. So it's things like capital gains tax and principal residence and negative gearing and all those sorts of things, which are largely the problem. You can whistle down the wind. The government's not going to change that in a fit anytime soon. It is a bit disingenuous when he says, we have nothing to do with this, keeping our interest rates down. We wouldn't dream of lifting interest rates to cut into the housing price problem. Maybe not yet, but maybe at some point in the future they may have to. We also had some sentiment surveys came out. They were stronger than might be expected. We had the August NAB Business Confidence Business Conditions Survey. Business confidence actually improved to -5 from -8, and business conditions improved too to +14 from +10. Surprising given that you had a lot of businesses which were severely affected by lockdowns in both New South Wales and Victoria. And it also showed through in Westpac consumer sentiment too in September, where there was a lift of 2% after being down 4.4% the month before. So a few little surprises there that maybe there can be some elastic rebound in economic activity once we get past the restrictions. We also had the very quirky labour force data came out, and we had a very large fall in employment, as you'd expect, down 146,300. That was way more than expected. The market was expecting down 70,000. But we also had a much bigger than expected fall in the participation rate, so people giving up. And so the participation rate came down to 65.2% from 66%, and that participation rate falling that much overwhelmed the fall in employment. And the unemployment rate actually came down, which is, again, a big surprise, came down to a 12-year low, 4.5% from 4.6%. The market was looking for 4.9% there. I think the market's given up on the labour force data just about. It's too hard to call. And obviously, you're going to get this ebbing and flowing in the participation rate at times too, which will give some quirky figures when we start to get into the recovery phase for employment as restrictions come off. This week in Australia, we've got RBA minutes, and just confirmation, the RBA is not moving anywhere anytime soon. It's happy to just do a slight taper through the bond buying program. Even that's glacially slow. So the most recent the first taper down to 4 billion purchases a week from $5 billion of purchases a week. They're going to hold that position all the way through to at least February next year. Not a lot else coming out this week other than it's going to be a pretty rough old start for the equity market. I don't think it's the end of the story for the equity market by any means. We'll get some rebounds running through that. But yeah, when you take the big hits that we have through the iron ore price, yeah, that's going to hurt. And it's not a uniform story either. Iron ore prices almost alone which have fallen in terms of commodity prices. Paradoxically, coking coal prices are at a record high, and we've still got strength through some other commodity prices. So it's largely an iron ore price story that will be taking a bit of a hit to the equity market this week, plus a bit of uncertainty about Australia's changing relationships with Europe, China, and even the political position of the government too, where it's within an ace of going into minority government what happened to Christian Porter over the course of the weekend. So there's a few bits and pieces which are moving around for Australia which will just sap a little bit of confidence through the course of this week, but by no means over for the long lift upwards in risk assets that will return at some point in spades as people start to buy the dips on this. And Europe last week, we had July industrial production, July international trade, both strong readings. Europe's an area which is actually doing pretty well. And industrial production was up more than expected. It was expected to be up 0.6%. It was up 1.5% month on month. The July trade balance continuing to expand. It moved to 20.7 billion euro trade surplus for the month from 17.7 billion. Strong growth in exports for Europe. This week in Europe, we'll get some sentiment data for September, consumer confidence, manufacturing PMIs, services sector PMIs. All of these are holding up very well as far as Europe's concerned. Its manufacturing PMI is going to be above 60, and that's a strong reading. The services sector PMI close to 60, probably around 58.7 when that comes out. So broadly speaking, you know, this week, it is a bit mixed because, you know, obviously we've got a few forces running through, but watching the Fed, particularly what it says about its tapering as we go through the course of this week. But that data in the US is interesting. We're getting another leg upwards just in the making. So, you know, the views about global economic growth, ever shifting this year, it's almost impossible to keep it well monitored, because from time to time there's a feeling that maybe things are coming back. Well, clearly things are starting to revive again, as far as the US is concerned on those lead indicators, and that paves the way for quite a deal of strength again, running through risk assets as we run into the later months of this year, running towards Christmas and beyond. There's every reason to expect that the Santa rally will be on bigger than ever when we get through to the late part of this year.